I'm sure this is true across all the evenings, that as a team of leaders, we try and remind one another that being a faithful gospel leader, a faithful small group leader, is far more than leading a good Bible study. What else does it involve? Well, I guess we remind one another, don't we, that it's about modeling, sharing our lives, not being super Christians, but seeking to be Christians who are trying to make progress in godliness, knowing Christ more, but also getting behind his agenda, making Christ known, modeling, mobilizing, encouraging guys in our groups to step up in ministry, making progress in partnering in the gospel, modeling, mobilizing, but also praying. And that's what we're thinking about for the next half an hour or so. Do you know what I mean by an MOT? If you are part of IGG, you may not know what an MOT is. Car owners in the UK have to put their cars through an annual test, unless it's a really new car and doesn't need to. And this time of year is a good moment, I think, every year for us as small group leaders at St. Helens to just think through what are we doing and are there areas that we need to be aware of. Now, I don't know about you guys, but one particular area that I often feel is lacking in my involvement in small groups is prayer. Perhaps we started the year being reminded at the leaders training weekend that this is an important thing, and we got off to some good habits, but by now, well, it's easy to end up having slightly gone back to our old ways. I like the title of this seminar because it helps me feel less of a fraud as I try and encourage us to think about the area, because none of us pray particularly well, but we all want to make progress, don't we? Hopefully you got the handout now. My hunch is that you've chosen this one because you're wanting to make progress. We recognize that, and that's why we see it's worth coming to think about that. I guess that will be true of the other subjects that we're thinking about this morning, and thankfully they're all being recorded so we can hear those later. Obviously, progress in prayer is something we want to do generally. We haven't got time to think about prayer generally this morning. We're going to think very specifically about praying for our small group. I'm increasingly convinced over the last few days, as I've been thinking about this, that this is a lack of prayer is a serious fault. This is not just like a windscreen wiper that needs replacing at the MOT to get it passed through the test. No, this is more like having an engine with serious problems. And so I really hope that this next half an hour will really get us going in the right direction and give us some things to think about going forward. I'm going to lead us in prayer. It's all very well talking about these things, but if God doesn't work, well, we're wasting our time. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in prayer. We recognize that so often we're slow to do that. And we pray that this session would help us to make some progress, particularly in this area of praying for the small group that you've entrusted to our care. Lord, please help us think in line with your will and help us to be motivated and to practically understand more how we can do this in a way that pleases you, that you would use our prayers for the furtherance of your purposes in and through our groups. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. Well, I'm keen that we're quite practical this morning. But before we turn to the nitty-gritty, we're just going to remind ourselves for a few minutes of why we're right to be concerned about our praying. It really does matter. So you'll see on the handout, first point, priority of prayer. The reality is we often don't pray. I'm pretty sure that's just not just me. So here's a question to kick us off, and we're going into our breakout rooms. I hope we'll be in sort of groups of about four, just 2 minutes. So don't bother introducing one another or kind of, oh, I haven't seen you for a, just straight to the question. Maybe there'll be some time at the end to be able to go back into the groups and say hi. But a very quick brainstorm. Why is it that we often pray so much less than we know we should? Off we go. Hey, well, welcome back, guys. We're going to just share a few of those ideas in the chat. So if you want to put down into chat things that you just mentioned in your discussion as to why we often don't pray, we know we should. I've got a few to kick us off. So someone said to me the other day, we often don't pray because we rely on our own efforts. So we've done all the Bible handling, like William was saying earlier, you know, we worked really hard on and maybe got really excited about seeing something that we hadn't noticed before in that bit of Mark's gospel or in Ezekiel 37. The danger is then we don't think we need God's help. We find it hard work. That's why we don't pray, isn't it? It's just hard. Praying is hard. We don't know what to pray about. Thanks, Chongyu. That makes sense. Lack of planning. Yeah, we know we should pray, but we don't plan it in. Things that we think are really important, we tend to put in the diary and then they happen. But do we do that about prayer? Distraction. Thank you. Lack of urgency. That's absolutely right, isn't it? It's the least visible thing, isn't it? So, and the least quantifiable thing. Our slob leaders won't know if we've been doing it. Someone said earlier, serving the RML or the IGG, the central focus program, becomes our kind of focus. It's easy to forget we're serving individuals. And so maybe that's another reason prayer slips off. I wonder what you think is the underlying reason. I guess there are many. Several big ones. William mentioned one earlier, which I think is really significant when it comes to prayer. And that is, it's a spiritual battle. Satan would hate us to pray. Why would he hate us to pray? Well, I think because of the big reason why we often don't pray. And that is, yeah, thanks, Leah. We don't understand how important prayer is. That's because, and you'll see this on the handout, because we have a warped view of self that reflects a warped view of God. Let me explain what I mean. We tend to think, I don't need to pray. We are self-confident. We're self-sufficient. We think, I've nailed the big point. I can get this across. We don't need any help. I can explain this clearly. I've been well educated. I can help someone get this point. Or perhaps we've come up with the most brilliant questions we've gone through with our co-leader, and we're very happy. This is going to be a great study. We think we don't need to. We forget. We don't understand that we are totally dependent on God. We fail to see that we are dependent on Him. We think we can do it in our own strength. We don't recognize that we need God's working by His Spirit to open people's blind eyes. We fail to understand that we think there's no need. We think that we have no desire to pray. We're so often self-centered. I'm sure that's not just myself. We have a lack of concern for the individual. If we really loved, someone mentioned that in the chat, if we really love people in our group, then we would pray. If we really love the Lord, then we would do what He's asked us to do, which is pray. But so often we'd rather just watch the next episode in our Netflix series or whatever we're doing. No need, no desire, no point. We sometimes end up thinking there's no point in praying. It won't make a difference. We've prayed about this individual group for months and nothing seems to change. And so, well, is it really worth praying on? That suggests we've not understood the Lord and the fact that He asks us to persist in prayer. No right. We have no right to pray. That's a warped view of self, isn't it? It's a warped view of God. It's certainly that. To think that God wouldn't want to hear from me. Maybe we're very conscious of ways we've let God down. And we think, well, how dare I approach God and pray for people in my group when I've made such a mess of it myself? Of course, that's a warped view of God, because we know that there's always more grace on offer, that we can always approach the throne of grace with confidence. Often we don't pray, but of course we should pray. What could be more of a privilege than coming to the Lord in prayer? And yet we don't do it. It's madness, isn't it? When we stop to think about it, what are we playing at? And when we stop to think about the reasons why we should pray, well, it becomes even more crazy. Just for a few minutes, I want to mention two big reasons why we often don't pray. And the first one's this. Not reasons why we don't pray, but reasons why we should pray. And it's the first one's this: what we know about God and what we know about His people. Of course we should pray when we think about who God is and when we think about who we are. That is, we express our dependence as we pray, and God then gets the glory. That's the economy, if you like. As we come to the Lord in prayer, we're acknowledging that without Him working, then nothing can happen. And so as we do that, well, He gets the glory, because He is seen to be the one on the throne. Think about who we are as His people. We're creatures made by His hands. We're not going to look at all the references on the handout, but you'll see there, Psalm 145. We see that the eyes of all look to Him. There is nothing that is not made by Him. And so we are totally dependent. And so to not pray is to live in denial of that. But of course, we can't truly pray without being reconciled to God and adopted as his children. We pray as Christians, we pray with his Spirit, Jesus' Spirit in our hearts. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, comes right at the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. And we see right at the heart of kingdom living is what? It's a relationship with our Father in heaven. Of course we should pray, because this is who we are. To not pray is to not be Christian. To pray is to live out who we are as his children in the secret of our hearts. And of course we pray also, not only as creatures, as children, but as workers, as co-workers. That verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, do you remember? You can look at it later. One of them planted, one watered, but God made the seed grow. God does it. And yet, incredible, we're co-workers with him. Well, we pray because we recognize that unless God does his key part, then we're wasting our time. So of course we should pray for our small group. What we know about God and what we know about his people, but also, next, what we know about God's plan and how prayer fits in. This is something we see taught in God's word. It's certainly something we see modeled in God's word. So early in the week, I got to 1 Chronicles 17 in my quiet time. And this verse, I hadn't really noticed before, chapter 17, verse 25. You don't need to look at it now, but you could look later maybe. For you, my God, David says, for you, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray before you. So David's there. He knows God's plan, and that's why he prays with courage. Why do we pray with confidence? Why should we be able to pray with confidence? Well, because we know God's plan. He's revealed his plan to us. And so we can pray with real confidence, knowing what he's about. We see that with the Lord Jesus, don't we? That he knew what God's will is. And so he constantly was calling out to the Father, going off to pray as he approached the big moment where he was to complete the work that the Father had given him. He's praying. He knows God's plan has been revealed to him. So he prays with confidence. But of course, he teaches that too. Those verses on the handout, John chapter 14, 50, in the Last Supper discourse, prayer comes up again and again, doesn't it? Those ones in 14, Jesus incredibly says, in his absence, we're going to be working. And we're going to be doing greater works than he did, because he will have gone to the Father. So now we're going to be able to be involved in works that bring people eternal life. Incredible. And yet he does it in answer to prayer. Chapter 15, similar thing. As we're connected to the vine, we're involved in this work, but it's in answer to prayer. We see it in the early church. So that famously Acts chapter 6, do you remember there's that dilemma? How are they going to look after the widows? Well, the apostles are clear, they've got to devote themselves to the ministry of the word. Well, actually, no, it's not just the ministry of the word, it's to the ministry of prayer and the word. And of course, that's true for us as small group leaders. And we see the apostles living that out in their letters. They tell who they're writing. We've been praying for you constantly, night and day. And we see some wonderful examples of prayer. Well, when we're tempted not to pray, remember, the Lord loves it. When we pray, this is how he set things up. This is how he gets the glory. Those verses in John 14, 15, 16. It's interesting that after prayer, it then says the Father's glorified. This is how he gets the glory, as we express our dependence and ask him to do what he's set out to do. We pray with confidence about it, knowing what he's revealed of his great plan. So of course we should pray. But how? How exactly should we pray? As small group leaders, I'm keen that we give the rest of our time to thinking very practically. I hope a lot of that was just reminders. Let's think about the practice of prayer. If anything I've just said doesn't quite make sense, there'll be a time, hopefully, for a few questions at the end, and we can come back to those things. But we're going to go back into our groups now and have a discussion of this question. We haven't got long, so again, go straight into it. In our good moments, what have we found helps us to pray for our group? Now, of course, there's no fixed way that leaders of small groups at St. Helens should pray. There are lots of different ways. Different people find different things helpful, perhaps at different times. But what have you found helpful? Let's have 2 minutes back in our groups just to brainstorm a few ideas, and then we'll have a chance to see some of them on chat in a moment. Thanks, Andrew. Great. Hey, well, guys, let's do what we did last time and put down one or two things into the chat. And I won't have time to mention them all, but hopefully we'll have a chance to read them and we can glean some of the wisdom that was just shared in the room. Some of us have been leading for many years and will have picked up things over the years that have been helpful. Others of us, it's all very new. Well, I would get cut and pasting and taking some of these ideas. Someone mentioned journaling. That sounds a really helpful idea. Asking people what they want to pray. That sounds obvious, but sometimes we just don't make the time for that, do we? Praying in the things that we're looking at in the study. Not thinking it's a task to do, but thinking these are people. That's really helpful, isn't it? Spending time with people. That's absolutely right, isn't it? And that's been hard this year, having to do everything on Zoom. But spending time means you get to know people and therefore the kind of things to be praying about. Has anyone mentioned Prayer Mate? Many of us have found that helpful over the years. You know, it's much easier to be able to be reminded what to pray for different people. I've never used the group function, but I think that there is some functionality that means you could even do it potentially as a group. Praying with other people about it. WhatsApp groups are super helpful, aren't they? Thanks, guys. Lots of good ideas. I think practically another thing to do would be to think about reading this book. Has anyone ever read this before? Call to Spiritual Reformation. There are lots of good books on prayer. I think this is almost certainly the best one out there. I'm just going to put on the chat a link to this book that is currently free as an ebook. Can you believe it? I don't know how that's been made possible, but brilliant. So if you haven't got it, or even if you have, you might want a free copy on your phone. Do take a look at that. It's really helpful because what it does is it takes you to the Apostle Paul's prayers and helps us to learn from the Apostle himself about what kind of priorities should shape our prayers. Actually, we're going to just do that for a moment. I want to suggest that again and again, Paul's prayers are a great place to shape our prayers for the group. As we think practically about what does praying for the group look like. And I think you could arguably say that to summarize how he prays for what? Progress of the word. Progress of the word. He prays for knowledge to result in growth. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But let's just have a look at the verse that I think should be on the handout, but I'm going to read it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Notice how many things he's praying for there. It's actually just one, really, isn't it? Or is it two? He's basically praying for progress that comes through the word, through understanding God's will. He's praying for knowledge of the Lord's will in Christ, the gospel. Praying that what they know, what we know, we would truly know. That the things we know about Jesus being Lord and Savior would be worked out into the very corners of our being. Or as he says in Ephesians chapter 1, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to truly know it. Ephesians, you know this. Colossians, you know this about. Well, I'm praying that you really know it. That they would have their hearts inflamed with understanding, spiritual wisdom and understanding. He prays for knowledge of the truth to lead to transformation, to result in growth, fruit, that there'd be more and more living, walking, thinking that is in conformity with that understanding of the truth. Does that make sense? So it's not very, in one sense, but there's one big thing we're praying for. We're praying for true knowledge to result in fruit, true knowledge of the gospel to result in fruit that brings God glory. And it's not just Colossians or Ephesians. You see it in Philippians in the prayer in chapter 1. What does Paul pray? He prays that their love for each other will be increasingly shaped by what they know of Christ as the servant of the Lord. They'd understand his mind and that would bear fruit. Growth comes through feeding on the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, we could just stop there and spend the rest of our time in prayer. That wouldn't be a bad thing to do. And just praying that for our group, praying that they would have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel and that would produce fruit in their lives, in our lives. We could think about what that looks like in the overview studies and if we're doing Matthew in 4 p.m. Whatever we're doing, 1 Thessalonians and Central Focus, praying that ourselves and the guys in our groups would have that kind of knowledge, spiritual wisdom and understanding to truly know God's will in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that knowing that in every corner of our being would impact our affections and our understanding, our our minds, our wills, so that we then live and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. But I am keen to give a bit more practical help. What might it actually look like to pray like that for our groups? And before we turn to have some questions, I'm going to suggest two things that I've mentioned to some of the guys in RGG before, and some of us have found this helpful. Possibly not something you'll always do, but you could try it for a time and see if you find it helpful. Two acrostics, you'll see them on the sheet there. It's not a silver bullet. This is not going to revolutionize your prayer life, I don't think. It's more an example of something practical that has been helpful to some of us. And I think it helps in two particular ways. It helps show me tangibly what to be praying for, but it also helps slow me down. I don't know about you guys, but if you're using something like PrayerMate and someone in your small group pings up for today, you're praying, the danger is you just move on quite quickly to the next thing on your list. But having what I'm going to introduce now may just slow us down a bit and encourage us to pray for different aspects of that big thing that we're praying for, progress of the word, praying for understanding that results in growth. Well, what's this first one? Feeding. We're praying here for the group to feed on the word. And then we're going to pray for growth, that it really would result in growth. What do I mean by this? I'm sorry if this comes across as a bit cheesy, but it's been helpful to some of us. Firstly, fear. So this is a reminder for me when I'm praying for the group Bible study, that what we're looking at is not a textbook. It's not a reading comprehension. I'm praying that myself and the group would have a sense of awe whose words we're listening to. I was in a one-to-one yesterday afternoon. I tried it on the brother, and I said, look, imagine I had a relationship with the Queen, and I've been telling her about you, and she wanted to meet you. And this weekend, even though it's locked down because she's the Queen, anything's possible, we're going to go and meet her. How would you feel about that? And he said, I'd be nervous. Well, shouldn't we be far more nervous at the thought of listening to the words of the King of Kings? Of course, we don't need to be frightened, but there should be a sense of awe given whose words we're listening to. And imagine if our group really did have that sense of fear. How much more would the group do prep beforehand? How much more would the group listen carefully, not be distracted on a Zoom study? What a revolutionary change that would bring to our Bible studies if we feared the Lord and recognized whose words these living words are. Augustine famously said, treat the scripture of God as the face of God, melt in its presence. That's good, isn't it? Spurgeon said, to me, the Bible is not God, but it is God's voice, and I do not hear it without awe. So let's pray that we would fear God, that as we come to these words, we would recognize who they come from. And if we do that, well, of course, we're going to feed on them. We're going to listen very carefully. Expect. Why should we pray for that kind of expectancy? Well, we know this is how God works. We know that this is how we have relationship with him. And so as we pray for our group members, pray that they too would expect God to be speaking and addressing our very souls, so that it wouldn't be, oh, I've got to come to this study and please my small group leader and I've got to work out what the big point is. No, we're coming to hear God speak to me. And so we're praying for that kind of expectancy. And again, imagine what that would do to people's prep and to our small group prayer life, that they would be longing as they arrive on a Sunday for the 6 p.m. or whatever happens at the 2 p.m. for a real engaging with God himself, praying for that anticipation. Both those things are attitudes, praying that we'd fear God and have awe, that we would also anticipate God speaking to us. The next two are a bit more kind of actions. And the first one, praying for the group to examine God's word, to be attentive, to look carefully, to be like those Berean Christians. Do you remember in Acts where we see that they search the scriptures attentively? And so, yeah, we pray for the group to want to work out what is the big point that God is saying in this passage, to really work hard and to be, if we're going to feed, well, we need to be working hard on that. So let's pray for the group to have that kind of mindset of we're going to examine it, not just take it as our small group leader said it, but we're going to see if what they're saying is right. Isn't it great when the group kick back and say, oh, hang about, but what about this? That's exactly what we should be praying for, that the group would be working hard at this. Examining, but not leaving it there. And this is where I think we're in danger sometimes in our Bible studies of leaving it at the examine stage. And we get to the end and, oh, we're almost out of time. Let's perhaps a few people could lead in prayer. But actually, if we're feeding, well, we should, having worked out with God's help, what is the big point that Mark or whoever it is making, we then need to digest that word. And so isn't this a good thing to be praying for our group, to be active in chewing on the word? I wonder if sometimes, whether it's a Sunday sermon or a midweek Bible study, we're in danger of spending all the time in the kitchen and we've produced this wonderful banquet, but then at the end, we take a little taster of it, we savor it, it's nice, but we never actually have a proper meal and chew on it. Think of the cows. I can't remember who it was in IGG. I think it was Brian Wong, very helpfully said, muditate. We're to chew like a cow. They don't just take a mouthful and that's it. They keep chewing on it. And let's pray for our group members to be chewing on God's word and muditating on it, thinking about it, applying it, discussing it. We don't just digest on our own. That praying for the group to want to talk about these things together. It wouldn't just be group leader and member together when we meet for coffee, but actually it would be happening organically across the group, wanting to keep thinking things through, what's happening about, oh, I've been thinking a bit more about this, and I'm wondering if this impacts us in this kind of way. And being active in digesting God's word, praying that the group would want to memorize bits of God's word, that would really help us to continue meditating. Well, it won't be long before we're back in the buildings for midweek groups. Won't that be exciting? Let's pray en route for those studies, or maybe we're still doing on Zoom. Before we go from one Zoom meeting to another, let's just pause and pray for the group to feed on God's word. And those things wouldn't be a bad thing to pray for, would they? To fear, to expect, to examine, and then to digest. I'm sorry, we're rattling through. I'm hoping this is giving you lots to sort of think about and go away and try it. You may try it for a few times and think that's not particularly helpful. That's fine. But it may be that some of us find that useful. Pray for individuals in the group, and then pray that feeding on God's truth would lead to real growth, that as we feed, it would result in growth. Now, what is the acrostic on this one? Well, growing. I think it's great to start praying for an individual on a group with gratitude. Again, that's from the Apostle Paul. So often his prayers, don't they begin with thanking? I thank the Lord for your faith and love and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good place to start? Like I mentioned earlier, it's so easy when we pray for group members to just pray for that interview coming up and then we're on to the next person, or just pray for the Bibles and then we're moving on. But actually, this will slow us down. Lord, thank you for the work you've done in their life. But then also, I tend to move on to, Lord, please may this individual in the group themselves grow in gratitude. Because if we're praying for that, well, we're praying for their understanding of the will, understanding of the gospel. That's what Colossians shows us, that as we are rooted and built up in Christ, then we overflow in thankfulness. What a great thing to be praying for members of our group, that they'd be increasingly thankful for the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're doing the overview or Romans, whatever it happens to be. That would be a great prayer, wouldn't it? Praying for increased gratitude. But secondly, praying for the individual's relationship generally. And I think this is kind of praying the sort of things we were just thinking about in the feed prayer. So praying for them to be feeding on God's word, praying for their prayer life, praying that they'd be responding to God. Praying that it wouldn't just be going through their motions, but they'd be engaging daily with the Lord, having a devotional life with the Lord Jesus Christ, growing. So praying for their relationship. But then moving on to praying for opportunities. Thinking, okay, what opportunities does this individual I'm praying for have day by day? And so then I think of two arenas, the church and the world. And I guess family maybe fits in either one of those. So praying for their involvement in the life of St. Helens, praying for their involvement in the life of the group. How much do we pray for individuals in our group to be active members of the group? Praying for their engaging on a Sunday, praying for their involvement in that particular ministry that they're engaged in at St. Helens, praying that there'd be a huge blessing, partnering in the gospel within the life of the fellowship, but then also praying for their active engagement in the world, as students, as workers, in the neighborhoods, in their families, praying that they'd be having open doors for the gospel to get the gospel out. And then walk, praying that they would not just be busy in ministry, but they would be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, that they'd be living lives, conducting themselves in such a way that shows they've been transformed by the gospel, praying that they would walk in the Spirit as those who love, like the world never loves, sacrificially, praying that they'd be living as children of light, again, not as the world does, but as holy people that we've been called out of darkness to be. Do you see how that slows us down? In fact, we're gonna do it now. I'm just gonna give you 1 minute, see how far you get down under this. Just let's pause for a minute, and you may only do the first one, but just see if it helps you as you pray for one individual. Just take one random individual in the group, and let's pray in the quiet of our own hearts. I don't know where you got to just then, but as you think about praying for members of the group, sometimes if you think, okay, we're going to put 10 minutes in the diary to pray, you think, how am I going to, you know, 10 minutes or half an hour even? How could I really spend a whole half an hour praying for my group? Well, I wonder if this kind of thing may just slow us down in our prayers, and then we cover more areas. It's not the only way. Maybe better to just pray through one of Paul's prayers. Personally, I find mixing it up, doing different things at different times, can be really helpful. Good. We're almost there. I think I'm going to make a few concluding comments, and then we'll have a chance for any questions. And then we need to have a bit of a break before we go back to William. In fact, I think we're having a session on the 2030 vision, aren't we? 2030 vision, brilliant. But let's pray above all that the church family, as we head forward into the new year, would be prayerful. That'd be a good thing to pray, actually, for our group, to get behind the 2030 vision. Well, here's some concluding comments. Often our failure to pray comes out of a warped view of self, a warped view of God. And so we think we don't need to pray, or we think we shouldn't pray, we can't pray. But no, God loves it when we pray. Think about what we know about who he is and his plan to use the prayers of his people. I'm currently finishing off a sermon series in James at the 2 p.m. at the moment. And in a couple of weeks' time, I'm getting to this verse. I can't wait. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of a righteous person is effective. It's effective. Prayers work. And in James, at least, this is key to bringing back a wandering soul. So we think of guys in our groups who are really struggling. Prayer is key to helping them. Yes, we can have good conversations with them. Yes, the Bible study will be key, but let's pray for the word to make progress in their souls. This really is how God brings back the wandering soul. Pray that we would pray. I love the Sangster quotes on the handout. I don't know if you looked at those. The first one at the top of the sheet: when you get to heaven and realize all that prayer did on this earth, you'll be ashamed that you prayed so poorly. I'm pretty sure, sadly, that is going to be true for us. Well, given we know that is the case, then let's finish this year of RML, IGG, whatever we're doing, praying more than we started it, praying more than we have been in the last few months. And then that last quote at the end of the sheet: the great intercessors remain men and women of secret influence in all communities. To be mentioned in their prayers is incomparably more enriching than to be mentioned in their wills. You may feel like you're not the best member of your stop group. What does that mean? Why don't we seek to outdo one another? But don't tell people, but outdo one another in being the prayers, being those who labor, who wrestle in prayer. I love Epaphras at the end of Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. He wrestles in prayer for the Colossians to stand firm, mature in the will of God. Well, why don't we do that for our groups, that we would wrestle in prayer for them? There's no greater way we could serve them. And so, brothers and sisters, let's make progress in praying for our small groups. We've got a 3 minutes. I'm keen that we leave 30 seconds at the end to pray. So any questions or clarifications, things you want to say? I'm sorry, I've talked far too much. 45 minutes is not easy for a seminar. I hope there's been something there useful. Any questions? Either maybe audio, if you're happy to speak it out.
Thanks, Henry. I just have a quick question about practically praying and modelling prayer to the group in a study situation. Do you have any tips with that?
Do you mean how to encourage people to pray out, or do you mean best practice in terms of...
Yeah, actually in a a study situation on.
Yeah, really good. I'm sorry we haven't really covered that kind of what it looks like in on the evening itself. And I think the short answer is it depends on your group and at what stage in the year. So often early on in the year, unless you've got a few really keen beans, then it may be that you need to do a few things differently. So it may be getting people to write down something, maybe write a little prayer and then have a chance to pray it, possibly to break into groups of twos and threes, possibly to prime someone in advance and say, look, I'd love it if you led us in prayer at the end. While we're doing the study, think of one or two things that really struck you and pray it in for us as a group. That can be helpful. There are lots of old hands here in the seminar. Anyone wants to share other ways of doing that? But that's a good question, Tom. Thanks. I'm going to carry on then. If you're asked to lead a Bible study with only 15 minutes notice, is it better to spend that time praying or reading? That's a really good question. I don't think you will get asked to lead a Bible study with only 15 minutes. It depends if it's a passage you've taught before, but I possibly suggest this. Spend 5 minutes looking at the passage and prepare to do Bible Unwrapped with the group. So you don't lead a study, but you look together at it. Do you know Bible Unwrapped? But then spend 10 minutes praying. And you never know. It may be the best study you've had all year. And I don't know about your experience, but I've often found that the studies that I've had least time on to prep have often gone better. That's never an excuse to then not prep next time. The Lord is just super kind, isn't he? And he reminds us sometimes that it isn't all down to our prep. And he's still able to work. That's why Bible Unwrapped is such a great thing to do. I think we probably ought to stop to make sure everyone gets some proper break. Let me lead us in prayer and then we'll go and have a break. Father, we thank you and praise you. We wonder at your great plan to have a people in relationship with you. Lord, we thank you that you've left us in this world to labor with you, to see more people brought under the rule of Christ. Father, thank you for giving us the particular groups that we have responsibility for this year. Please help us to be more devoted in praying for them and for one another. Lord, please keep reminding us that you love it when we pray and that you get the glory as we acknowledge that you alone are going to be able to bring about growth in them. Father, growth is what we long for we know it brings you much pleasure as people live lives in conformity to the gospel and don't just have heads full of knowledge, but are worshipping you single-mindedly with every bit of our being 24/7. And Father, we thank you that your word is everything we need for that. Please help us increasingly to be loving our groups by praying for the word to make progress in our very beings. Lord, thank you for the chance to think about these different things. Help us to go on thinking about them. Pray that there'll be opportunities to share with others too and glean different bits of wisdom from different ways of doing it. But above all, we pray that we would pray that we would pray, that we would see that this is something we need help on and that we'd look to you for help with it. Please help us to make progress. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.